All right, guys, it is great to be back with you again this week, and this week's episode is absolutely fantastic and fun. I am talking with my good friend, Laura Van Zomeren. She is somebody who truly embodies what it means to love well, and she does it through fun and community and bringing people together. And so I hope that you will enjoy this week's episode as much as I did. So let's get on with it. Laura Van Zomeren, it's good to have you on the podcast.
Thanks, it's good to be here.
I still haven't figured out how to like start the podcast thing. It's always awkward.
No, so. You're doing great.
So I haven't figured that out yet. But, all right, so you are another one of these Lincoln people who are just out here loving well in our community. You do a ton. So give people a little bit of, just a little bit of background, you know, kind of what have you been, what's kind of been your role in the Lincoln community over the last few years and some of the different ways that you've been that you've been serving here. So,
oh boy. Well, we moved here like 21 years ago and are really thankful to be here. It's a great community. Mm-hmm. And I think I just kind of have jumped in wherever I felt led and felt like I could be helpful.
Yeah. And
so yeah, I've done a fair amount of things. I'm just, you know, there's so many people in this community who step up and
yep.
and make it a great place to live, but
yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, now that's just not good enough. You need to actually think about this for a minute. Come on, Van Zomeren.
Let's start.
Athletes in Action.
I love that.
Yep. Yes.
Athletes in Action. I think my favorite things to do in this community are to bring people together and do fun things.
Mm.
I love fun. I love people.
Yeah.
So whenever those two meet,
that's
life
where Laura
is
Van
good,
Zomeren
and that's
is.
Kind of my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So I think some of my favorite things are Ann Wagren and I doing like the rail sprinter, a 5K thing and bringing people together there. I
yep.
love doing AIA with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I love doing PTA stuff that thanks teachers and does fun things for kids.
Yep.
Those are my favorite things.
Yeah.
I've done other things that were out of my wheelhouse and that's a mistake. And, I love where those two meet. I'm finding now that I'm 50, baby, I figured this out finally.
That's right.
That's where I need to stay
in my
volunteer activity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of the most fun things that I've been a part of that you helped pull off was the dodgeball thing.
So fun.
That's it.
That's perfect.
That was so good.
Yeah.
That was really, really good.
Fun.
Oh my gosh. I don't think I've laughed that hard at, like, it just, watching these guys whipping balls at each other was just so good.
And we all need that in our lives,
absolutely.
Right? Just have fun and belly laugh, and shout out to Rodney. I'm sorry you got hurt. I think you were the only fatality that night.
Yeah,
and everybody, for everyone else, it was fun. Thank you for being there, man.
Yeah, for real. Oh my gosh. What a crazy night that was. That was so good. So, all right, so you're kind of doing this. You figured out, bring people together, have fun. What is it about bringing people together and seeing that? Like, what is it about that? What is it that brings you joy about seeing those things happen? About seeing those people coming together and laughing and having fun, like why does that bring you joy?
I don't know. I think that's just, I don't know. It's just my personality. That's always been my favorite thing. Like,
yeah.
I don't, if it's not fun, I have a really hard time wanting to do it, frankly. Like, seriously, it's just like in my, I don't know if you look at like the DISC personality profile or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's kind of the hallmark of my personality.
Okay.
It's like having fun.
Yeah.
And that's a big motivator for me. And okay. It's also like my biggest downfall because I have a hard time sticking with something as soon as it's not fun.
Mm.
So, yeah. And a lot of things aren't that fun, let's be honest. But yeah, I think, I don't know, it just makes my heart sing to see people together yeah. and laughing and having fun. And I guess it doesn't make everybody happy. I think we found that out. But yeah. It does make me happy. That's my thing. That's my thing.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that I noticed is that I was thinking about this conversation, and I think one of the things that strikes me about you is like you're all in on this kind of community building and fun thing, even when like your kids aren't necessarily all in. You know what I mean? Like there are a lot of people who are like, well, I'll go do that. And as soon as their kids have transitioned out, they're like, okay, check. I can go do my own. I'm out of here now. And yet, like, you know, we're rolling with AIA, no Ethan, no Tate, you know, I mean, you know, our boys playing football the whole first semester, they were barely present ever.
Right. Yeah.
And yet here you are, man, faithfully showing up, buying pizza for other people's kids. And like that, where do you get the motivation to care deeply about other people's children? Cause I think that's something that's so unique. I mean, I like other people. I like other
Come
people's.
On.
I like other people's kids that I like, but I don't naturally necessarily gravitate towards other people's kids. Do you know? Does that make sense? I don't know if that.
That sounds weird, Dan.
I know it sounds weird.
I hear what you're saying.
it's just not a, you know. But you,
I think that's one of my. Like, I found that out about myself when years ago when we lived in Washington, D.C., and I lived in this women's group house, and our primary reason for living in that area was to have an open house policy with kids in the neighborhood. So we had kids over all the time while we were, like, working our jobs and living our lives.
Yeah.
And I just saw the transformation in kids that had working parents or had absentee parents who just needed like someone to love them, somebody to show interest in what happened in their day. Like the difference that we as a group, the six of us women, and Jake was there too. He just lived in a house down the street. Like, we made was really transformational for me. Like and I'm still like Facebook friends with some of those kids who were 10 at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's amazing. Like,
that is.
And I had people like that when I was a kid who reached out and took an interest in me and loved on me even when I was not very lovable, or they had, you know, their only connection was I think of Mr. Robertson who we shared a backyard, but we lived a long ways from each other, and he was older than my parents, and that could have been weird for an older guy to be interested in me, but oh my gosh, like I loved him and I loved his love for nature, and he would see me walking in the park and he'd be like, oh, what'd you see today? And we'd talk about birds and trees, and like, those are the people that, and you know, your friend's parents are so important too, but like,
right.
I think I've had that benefit my whole life, and of people going out of their way to ask you about, or, you know, hey, you did a great job in the basketball game last night or whatever, you know, and that was huge for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that it's huge for every kid, but I love to be at least a person that notices somebody and like, you're doing a great job with that. Or, so you're right. When we moved here and our kids started school, I had the benefit of being a stay-at-home mom, and so that's when I started volunteering a lot, even in preschool. And you see the kids who need an extra some more love in their lives, you know? Mm-hmm. And even the kids who don't need it, you know, it's fun to give them a boost too. So I think I saw the benefit of it for me growing up. And then that time in DC right after college, I was like, wow, this is important and I love this. And I'm good at it. Like I have it's not work for me.
Right.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
There you go. Right. So, I love that. Like when Tate was in first grade, Nigel Hargrave is not a kid who needs extra love. Like he has a fantastic family.
Yeah.
Shout out Raphael and Manya. But in first grade, he was a kid who, Tate had a lot of activity too, but Nigel had a lot of activity in his life.
Yeah.
And when we'd sit in a circle, he would just melt into my lap and and then he would be able to listen to what was going on. And I love that kid for that. Like he's bigger than I am now, you know, but like every time I see him, I just have this little first grader who melted into my lap, you know, and I'm just like, I played a role in his sweet little life, you know? And that makes me really happy to think that, that makes me tear up to even think about, you know, and he's not, again, he's a kid that's going to be great no matter what, right?
100%.
But there were other kids who I hope that, needed a mom right then that would hug them or, you know, or sit next to them, that kind of thing. And it's a treat, even through high school that kids would even, you know, some kids are super please don't come over here and talk to me. Please do not embarrass me. But other kids love it, you know?
Right.
And I love it too. So anyone who's willing to let me hug them or give them a positive word, I'm down for it.
Yeah. Because
it's wonderful and it makes me feel good too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just always been one of those things as I watch you, there's you and Shaheen are kind of those two people, at football games, I feel like, you know, it's a good thing you're never in a rush because, you know, you guys are always mobbed by people, you know, there's always kids that are coming up and hugging you and want a bit of your time. And it's just,
she's wired
sweet.
Like I am that way. I think too, for sure. It's just a, I don't know. I don't know what it is. And who doesn't love a hug from a mom? Not that I'm a mom figure, but you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just somebody, you know, well, some people don't. Okay. Right. Let's be honest, but a lot of people do.
Yep.
So, I think it's a place that I think God afforded the opportunity for me to have that time to do that. And that Jake was willing to, you know, work for money while I worked for volunteering and trying to make, you know, things even better for not just our kids or our kids' friends, but I hope everybody. I think the more parents who are out there trying to make good things happen.
Yeah.
Even if they're coaching because their kid's on the team, all 13 of those other kids benefit, right?
Yep.
So
absolutely. Yeah. All right. So how do you define love?
I think for me, love is meeting someone where they're at, first and foremost, but also caring for them in a way that is meaningful to them. That's how I would describe it.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's hard to figure out what's meaningful to somebody. So sometimes you have to watch them or see what they do for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's usually their love language. Or ask them.
Yeah.
But too many times I think I've tried to love people in the way that I like to be loved.
Okay.
And sometimes that speaks to them, but other times it doesn't. And so I think that's really important. But also, I think the social worker in me, they teach you, meet people where they're at. And I think that's pretty crucial, too. Yeah, that's how I would define
it. Yeah, it's interesting that meeting people where they're at, and what you said there about trying to identify how they want to be loved, I think that's the tricky part, right?
It is.
I mean, yeah, because it demands that you set aside yourself. And I know for me, that's just hard. Like it's
for everyone. Right?
Yeah. It's yeah. Because and there requires so much humility in that, because I think, I don't know. I feel like for me, I get, you know, you kind of get in these ruts, you kind of start going and you start serving, you start doing things and you feel like, okay, I got this figured out now. I know how people want to be loved. And you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Right, yeah, right.
And you kind of like start doing it and then you realize, wait, I'm missing some. And it's, yeah. Like, how do you avoid getting into that rut where you feel like you have the answers and, you know, and you kind of miss people because of that? How do you, and you might not even do it intentionally, but how do you think you stay out of that cycle? Because I feel like, again, watching you, especially like I'm so grateful for Athletes in Action because I get to watch you up close and you engage with each kid so uniquely and so differently. Hmm.
That's nice.
I don't
avoid that rut. But I can tell when it's happening because it feels frustrating and not fulfilling.
Okay.
And you're like, I'm putting all this energy into this and it's not like that person's not feeling good and I'm not feeling good. So, or this, whatever the situation is. And I don't know, like, I'm trying to be better about like talking to God about it first before I like do something big or even like, I don't know. It's because you do. I do. I get in that all the time because it's like, I'm not good at a lot of things, but I'm kind of naturally good at that in my head. So then I'm like, oh, I know how to handle that.
Right.
And so then I don't put enough thought into it or I don't, and not that you have to like be real thoughtful about basically being nice to somebody or,
sure,
you know, that kind of thing. But I feel like when I start to feel taken advantage of or frustrated or it's not working, then I know I'm doing something, like it takes me a while. I beat my head against a wall for a little bit and then I'm like, well, what are you doing? Like,
yeah,
you have to look at it and figure out, like, it's usually me and I'm usually like either being stubborn or not paying attention or, yeah, I don't know that I'm always great at that. But it's important and it's, I think I'm getting, I don't know that I'm answering what you're saying.
No, it makes sense.
Well, does it? I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm kind of confused
because,
in my own head.
No, because the idea of, so it's not that you, so I think the difference between you and me is it's not that we don't both go off into our rut or whatever of, I'm going to do it this way because I know this way works. The difference is you have that mechanism in your head of, oh, wait, something's not working here, right? Like, you're able to identify the, when you're in that rut by saying, okay, that's not fun. I'm putting a lot of energy in. There's nothing coming back. Like,
right, right.
They're miserable. I'm miserable.
Right.
So, all right, there's an issue here.
Yeah.
Right? And when I bump into that, I'm just like, oh, well, I guess this, it's hang up and go on to the next thing. Like,
well, me too, man.
You know what I
me
mean?
Me too. Oh,
so,
I believe
like,
me.
I just,
believe
I don't, me. So it's interesting. Like, I just wonder how many relationships have I just kind of chalked up to, you know, well, that person just doesn't like me. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
As opposed to stopping and saying, wait, maybe I'm misreading this and maybe I need to, you know, make some adjustments here. Maybe I'm actually not paying attention to the way they want to be loved and cared for.
Right. And both could be true, right?
Sure.
Both could be like, you know 100%. What, this isn't working.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I was thinking like on the larger scale too, with like just because you're good at something or could be good at something doesn't mean you should do it necessarily.
Right.
Or just because somebody's like, oh, you'd be great at that.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't mean you should do it.
And sure.
Too many times I've fallen prey to like, oh, so-and-so thinks I'd be good at that. So then your ego gets caught up in it. And you're like, you know what I should do is, I don't know, run for the board. And even though like, that's not my gifting. Like the people on the board are fantastic.
Yeah.
But I did it because I thought, oh, that's kind of the next step. I've been in PTA. So that's kind of the next step. I've always kind of wondered about, you know, what it's like to be on the board. And then you do it. And I did, I'm sure I was not terrible. I did a fine job. But when you're out of your gifting, like, oh my gosh, like, that's just not a good idea.
Right.
And unless you're really being called to it. But I don't think you know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, I thought I could serve my community in that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think
I did. Right.
But then when I watched like other people doing it, and it's not effortless, they put a ton of time into that.
Right.
But they're getting sincere joy out of it. And like, I'm good at this. I'm making a difference. And for me, it was like trying to run a marathon backwards. Like, it just isn't.
Yeah.
Not what I'm good at.
So when you're in the midst of doing that thing that you're not good at, even though you know,
Good comes out of it.
You're doing good.
Yeah.
But it's that. But when you walked away, like there are some people that walk away from a board meeting and are like energized and we really did a thing tonight.
Right.
And my hunch is you walked away from board meetings going, oh my God, I need a drink.
Right. People are mad at me. This is hard. I don't like finances. You know, like it's just if you think I like to make people happy and have fun and bring people together, does that meet any of those?
No,
none of those criteria. None of those criteria. Are met.
That's
no,
right.
No. Well, people are coming together.
Yeah, true. People are coming together.
True. But like and it's a wonderful thing that people have the gifting and the talent and the desire and the stick-to-itiveness, because a number of those people have been on there for years. And my hat's off to them. But like for me, again, like I'm 50, I should know these things, but I didn't. And I tried it and
you served faithfully.
I did. You know? I did my best.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like this, so I'm just thinking of that.
Yeah,
sort of
it's
thing.
The it's
like,
the we talk a lot about the, you know, the Eric Little thing, right? Where, you know, he's that Scottish runner. The Chariots of Fire.
Yeah.
And so he's got, there's that quote of his that says, you know, because his sister was giving him a hard time about going to the Olympics instead of going to be a missionary in China.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, Jenny, I know that God made me to go to China, but when I run, I feel his joy.
Yeah, that's huge.
And so it's like, you're made to serve our community. And when you are bringing people together and having fun, you feel God's joy.
I do. I 100% do.
And so there's all kinds of different ways you can serve in the community.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's okay that the board isn't one of them.
Right, but it was striking to me that I didn't know that going in, or that it wasn't like, I should know that by now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe I was, you know, called for a time, you know, and some good things happened for sure. But
well, you walked through some hard seasons
in
the life of the board.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just one of those things. Or as I was thinking about, I don't know. That just kept coming back to me as I was thinking about this. Just because to think about those sort of things, because in the end, you're going to be most productive and you're going to, you know, have staying inside. I don't know that you should always stay inside your giftings. Like if you're challenged to do something else, I don't know if I'm saying that, but,
yeah.
Yeah. I just, that was a very good learning experience for me on many levels.
Yeah. It's interesting. I was, one of the, I listened to this one podcast, and the woman who is on it wrote a book called Grit, and it's kind of this book about perseverance and all that kind of thing, which really resonates with me. But one of the things that I find so fascinating, her name's Angela Duckworth, and she's a psychologist, social psychologist. And
love it.
So, but one of the things that I'm always find most fascinating about is when she starts talking about quitting and how sometimes the thing that requires the most grit is to know when to quit. It's like,
interesting.
You know, it's what you're talking about. It's like, okay, I know what I'm wired for, which is serving my community. And okay, so yes, the next thing seems to be serving on the board. Well, it did it. And yeah, it's just like that. I think learning when it's time to quit, I think that's one of the most hard things to figure out.
Yeah. And it's embarrassing, and it's like...
Or it feels embarrassing, yeah, and it's like, and it's probably only embarrassing to us.
Maybe, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Maybe. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I mean,
because... I'm not sure about that one yet, but yeah.
Well, I mean, we're pretty well connected.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I've not heard a single person go, oh my gosh, can you believe Laura quit the board? Nobody's saying that.
They're saying it out loud.
they're not even saying it out loud. It's like, wow, okay, Laura, yeah, it was time. Like, I haven't heard anybody who kind of would have that attitude of, oh, I can't believe. Like, most people are like, I'd never do it. So kudos for hanging on as long as you did, because that's hard.
It is.
It's free. Like, you're doing it for free. You're not getting any money out of it.
Yeah.
It requires all kinds of time.
Sure does.
And and if it's not bringing you joy, then Marie Kondo that thing.
Right.
Or Kondo, whatever her name is. Just
Taekwondo.
That's right. This is not bringing me joy anymore.
Exactly.
And you flush it. You get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, and truly, I think most of the embarrassment we feel in those kinds of situations is just, it's self-inflicted.
Maybe so.
You know, or we hear that voice of that, whether it was a parent or somebody who's like, don't quit.
Right.
You know, you can't quit. We don't quit.
Right, right. You signed up for it.
You signed up for it. You finish it out. You know, you're going to finish out that season.
And it was interesting because, like, I quit, and then, so I wasn't going to be on the stage, like, as the board is for graduation.
Yeah.
Which is probably my favorite thing about being on the board, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was feeling a little bit sorry for myself, I'll be honest. And then Katie called and said, hey, could you come and take pictures at graduation? And that was like such a lovely, like, because you know how I feel about photography and taking pictures of people. And it was just like a little reminder of like, nope, you're not out now. Like you can, because I didn't have anyone graduating. So it's not like I could just go because there were limited numbers. Right.
Right.
But I don't know. That just felt like one of those little God moments. Like, nope, you're okay. Like, you can work your way back in and you still be a part. And I liked it so much better.
I was going to say, the thing that you really love to do.
I know. So that was really
kind
of like, I don't know, a kind of a pat or a hug.
Absolutely.
It was a hug for me.
Yeah. Like, it was a little divine hug.
Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah.
So that was really nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. There's another big difference between you and me.
What? Liking to take pictures?
No, like potentially wanting to go to a graduation ceremony, even if you don't have any kids there.
But you get to hug everybody when they come across the stage.
I know.
That's the best.
Oh, man. So boring.
The speeches, Dan. I needed to hear more speeches.
That's right. all right. So it sounds like you've been on a little bit of a journey, kind of a self-discovery journey of figuring out boundaries for trying to stay in that kind of gifting, trying to stay in that bring people together, love, you know, and have fun kind of thing. So how are you, what are you learning about setting boundaries? How are you figuring out in the midst of your heart to serve and love? Because I think one of the things that's so hard for people who are wired like you to is to have boundaries and not to just get, you know, not to kind of in some sense lose yourself in the midst of the serving, in the midst of showing up and being present in the lives of other people. So yeah. what are you learning about that, about setting boundaries, about being able to possibly even use the N word and say no at times? Like what are you learning about that?
That I'm not very good at it. I don't have a whole lot of need to set boundaries typically. Like yeah. I not that I'm completely boundaryless, but like I have a lot of people energy. I have a lot of like drop by if you want, hang, you know, come on in our house yeah. and kind of like, you know, like your house.
Yep.
But again, I think when I start to feel resentful or like it usually, unfortunately, I think I get to that point and then I recognize it. Like I don't usually recognize it before.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that it's, oh, you're getting close. Yeah. You know, it's usually like, why do I feel like, usually if I'm being honest, I feel like, why do I care more about other people than they care about me? Once I get there, I know I've screwed
up. You jumped the shark.
Yep. I need to like start setting some boundaries, think about what's really important to me and what I want to do and what I don't want to do. Yeah. That for me is like a,
that's the red flag.
That is. Yep. And
interesting.
And it comes around and then I'm like, okay, there it is. And I have to feel sorry for myself for a couple of days and then I do something about it. That's pretty much how it goes.
I love that. Yeah. So who modeled this for you? Like I think I've said this in every conversation so far I've had to love well is just, it's so much more caught than taught. Like you don't take classes and go
for sure yeah,
you know, it's there, we catch it from others.
Yeah.
So who modeled this way of living for you that you were like, yeah, I want to live my life like this? I mean, I know there's some nature stuff, just, you know, being an extrovert and being someone who gains energy from being around people.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of ways to get energy from being around people.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be in service and loving well. It can be in a very narcissistic, selfish kind of way.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know?
Yeah.
So who modeled this for you? Who did you...
My parents are a primer in this. Like they, their lives have been devoted to family and other people. Mm-hmm. Like growing up, I think my parents have always had a heart for people who are international students. Like they've had a lot of people live with them. They were always thinking about like who's going to be alone at Thanksgiving or Christmas. My dad's a college professor and we lived in a small college town. So
I didn't know your dad was a college professor. Yeah. I had no idea what your dad did. I just knew he was awesome.
My mom's a teacher, like an elementary.
Okay.
And then,
What did your dad teach?
Psychology.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
I knew I liked that man.
Yep. Northwest Missouri State University.
Wow.
But they were always above and beyond. They owned a group home that was my whole life in our town, for people who were cognitively delayed. And so they were always a part of our lives too.
Yeah.
I could go on forever about my parents' volunteer activities.
Yeah.
For a very long time.
Yeah.
And we'd go to the nursing home to do church services on Sundays a lot of times before we went to church. Like my mom is a fantastic musician and my dad would preach and we'd hand out, you know, we would sit by people.
Yep.
And I think just watching them, they do it in a different way than I do.
Yeah.
But always looking for opportunities to serve. And so, and I think my family's like that too. Like even listening to my grandma talk about how she and her mom would always make an extra meal. They lived near a railroad track and they would always make extra meal, lunch for, they called them hobos. That's a terrible, you know, like whatever.
Well, that's,
like,
I mean, that's,
that was the term.
That was
then.
The term. Well, that was the self-identity. Right. Like, that was the...
And they would give them food, you know, when they would get off the trains. And like those kind of things impacted me as a kid. Mm. And I remember listening to those stories. And I think our family is just big into service. But then also I grew up in this small town that I think there was a lot of care given to other people. And just watching moms, I would say moms mostly, but also dads of my friends volunteering. And I think it's just like that's just what you do.
Right.
And, yeah, so I think that was the basis for just like, that's just part of life. That's not like an extra.
Yeah.
You, that's what you do.
That's what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah. That, it's just, it's so interesting to hear kind of that generational flow of that.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Definitely. Yes.
Like you think about, you know, you think about it. So often we think about generational stuff or inherited stuff only in terms of economics, right? Like how much money are you going to inherit from so-and-so and generational wealth. And in hearing that, it's like generational wealth, but just, but a different kind. This, you know?
Oh, huge.
I mean,
huge. Yeah.
Just the joy. Like one of the things that always strike me about your parents when I see them at, you know, the various things that we do,
right?
They're just happy. They just are, they're smiling.
Yeah.
You know? And
nice.
Your dad is just, he's always quick with a good joke. Like it's just, it's always dry and perfectly timed.
Yeah. I don't know if it's good, but like,
it's perfectly timed and dry.
Right.
It's and then he gives you the smile and you're like, oh my gosh, that's so good. I remember what we were touring Billy Kangas, who's going to be on the podcast soon, who runs Hope Clinic, was giving a bunch of us, a tour. And there was your mom serving, I think that day.
Diapers.
Moms were coming in to get diapers and baby clothes. And there she was, you know, with a group of women serving away.
Yeah.
So
pretty extraordinary. And I don't think that felt extraordinary to me as a kid.
Yeah.
Like it just felt like that's just
normal.
Just what we do.
Yeah.
But when I watch them now at 82 and 80, and my dad has a farm and he's donated thousands of dollars worth of produce to Hope Clinic.
Yeah.
Like, and mom's volunteering at the thrift store, at Gilbert Residence, at Hope Clinic. You know, like, they just, it's just who they are.
And so they're not walking around the mall looking froyo in their retirement.
Maybe in between the other stuff, but like
your parents don't have time to walk around the mall and look fro, yo.
But yeah, it is funny, isn't it? Like when you look back, like now that we're at our age, to look at like that's not necessarily the norm,
right?
Of what people my parents' age are doing.
Yeah,
and their parents did it. I would guess that my great grandparents did it. Like it's I think it has a lot to do with like. Their relationship with God too, like in serving people. But I also just think it's like, it's just the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And what a world it would be if everybody were doing that.
Could
right?
you imagine?
Yeah. No, I can't.
Yeah. So. I mean, truly like trying to think of a world like that requires such an imaginative feat. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, it's like,
yes.
It's like, the only thing I can think of is, okay, that's what heaven will be like.
That's, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which just drives home the reality that, you know, you can experience heaven right here, right now, if you choose to live that way.
Right. Yeah, you know? For sure.
Like,
yeah.
You don't have to wait.
Right.
You can actually live selflessly here and now and have the fun and the joy of living like that.
Yeah, I was thinking about as we were talking, when Lake was in first grade and this little girl who, I don't know, I think probably had kind of a tough growing up. And I remember toward the end of the school year, her, like, I feel like God just gives you these little, like, motivators when you're kind of on the right track, you know, like, or little, like, hugs we were talking about.
Yep.
And this little girl came up to me and she said, "Why do you love us kids so much?" Like, just out of the blue. And, like, dang it, if she, like, then you get 10 more years of that. Just for saying
that's
that.
Right.
Like,
that's right.
Like, isn't that beautiful? Like, a first grader would notice that. Like, that was puzzling to her. Yeah. And, like, how great is that? And, like, and I know you're doing that. I know Amy's doing that. I know Jake's doing that. Like, all so many people in our community and through the world are doing that.
Yep.
But, like, what a, I don't know if it, it made a difference in her first grade life.
Yeah.
And I hope that that planted a seed for her, you know?
Right.
Like, somebody does love you and somebody does care about you. And, and those are important things to know.
Absolutely.
You know?
Like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. So how do you keep going? Because how do you fill your tanks up? Because I know, I mean, when you're giving of yourself, doesn't matter who you are, it takes something out of you. So what is it, what are some of the things that you practice so that you practice self-care so that you're able to kind of keep going and keep caring for people and loving people?
It's funny because over the pandemic, boy, like, I mean, I know it was like, it was rough for everybody.
Yeah.
But I really noticed, like, I walk with my friend Jamie on Fridays, and we didn't do that for months because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And, like, it's interesting the things you, like, of course you love. I love walking with her.
Right.
But I had no idea, like, that she's my therapist until, like, so we didn't get
it.
To do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, to have somebody know and love you deeply and know and love your kids and your husband and, like, we've known each other since the girls were, we met each other at church when the girls were in the nursery. And, like, she knows me and I know her.
Yeah.
And, like, gosh, I had no idea how much I missed that until, like, I really, really missed that. And, like, just to have somebody who can, for me, to have somebody who can speak truth and be like, tell me when I'm on and tell me when I'm off.
Yeah,
like, and she can, she's the type of person who will tell me, like, whoa, why are you doing that? Like, that's not, you know, good for you, or that's not cool. Or, and also, like, one of my biggest cheerleaders. And I hope I'm that for her, but, like, that's huge. So we've started doing that again.
Yeah.
And I hope I'm that for her. I don't know, but she definitely is for me. So like having, like, not having, people to talk to, like, for me, having people to talk to who really know me, is super important. And I don't think, I guess I knew it was important, but I didn't know how important it was to me. And walking, like, I love to walk, and I know you've been walking like crazy. I don't know if you love it, but
I love.
Oh, you do love it now.
Love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't
hate
know if
going
it was
to
doing
the gym.
Okay.
But I love walking outside. There's something about it that
it's great, isn't it?
It's great. We'll and I've got
together.
This stupid injury that I'm
sorry.
It's just, I'm old. It is what it is.
No, it's just repetitive. Like, you're doing it every day.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, your loving husband, you know, I called him yesterday and I'm like, Jake,
make this better.
I'm 2 weeks into this and I'm seeing, like, barely any improvement. Like, I've seen some improvement, but not very much. And he's like, Pastor, I hate to break it to you, it's going to be months. I'm like, oh,
not helpful.
So,
not helpful.
He's like, it just is what it is, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So
darn it.
Well, it's okay. Like, I've discovered I can go to the gym and do the elliptical and there's no pain.
Okay.
Which is so weird, but
that is a little weird.
No pain. It's zero pain.
It.
So I'm like, well, I can at least go sweat and move and you know, it's fine. It's not walking out. Like, there is, I've loved it. I just love the, even walking out in the cold and the snow and the rain and
it's so great.
It's so great.
Seeing people, you're in nature, you're like exercising your body.
All of it.
Yeah. So yes, I can tell if I don't, I can skip one day.
Yeah.
But if I skip two, like, I think everyone in my house knows it. And they're like, you need to get out there and
walk. That was after I had started walking. Both Amy and Libby were like, you're a much nicer person to be around.
It makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. Like,
Yeah. So, yeah, that's okay. All right. So, I know that you have got some things that you guys got to get done. So, we're going to wrap up.
Okay.
But here's my big wrapping up question.
No.
I know. You ready for this?
We'll see.
All right. So one of the things that seems to have come out over the last number of conversations, a lot of people have found like music to be something that they listen to that has, I don't know, feeds their soul or kind of helps connect them. So are there any particular songs or artists or that, you know, when you're kind of like, okay, I need to get my mind right, need to get my heart right, that you will pop on your phone or, you know, throw in your CD player, whatever it is. Are there any particular songs or artists that you're like, man, this is my jam?
I don't know. Recently, like I really enjoy Lauren Daigle, and yeah. I love Van Halen.
Okay.
And I, they're not exactly like
there's two, right, yeah, two ends of the spectrum.
Good Dutch band, you know. I love music, but I don't. No, I like music.
Yeah.
But I would not say like I'm a diehard music person.
Yeah.
That's such a bummer of a wrap up.
That's not.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Well,
kind of is.
So, like,
who do you love?
I really like. I like you too.
Nice.
There's a solo guy named Derek Webb, who was the lead singer for a Christian band called Cademan's Call.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
His solo stuff I really like a lot more than even his, you know, than his Cademan's Call stuff. He's been on this fascinating journey, but it's interesting because I don't, like, I know there are people who will put music on and just listen to all the music all the time, like it's just always,
yeah.
Or they'll sit and just really, but I like music, but I don't love music. I'm kind of like you, where I would much rather, if I'm gonna have music on, I'd almost rather have just some jazz kind of going in the background, and yeah. I couldn't tell you who it is.
Right.
But I just love having that kind of soundtrack, right?
Right.
But yeah, you too, Garth Brooks. I'm a Garth Brooks nut. I will sit, if there's a Garth Brooks song on the radio, if for whatever reason I have the radio on, I'll sit and finish listening to the song before I get out of the car.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He's pretty great.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of like something funny to say, like, one of Tate's, like,
yeah,
little
bow wow,
little,
yeah.
But I,
some rapper,
yeah, right. Yeah. Which I do enjoy listening. Like, that's really fun to like listen to the music he likes and then have him tell me like what he likes about it. And,
yeah, Ethan got me into J. Cole.
Nice.
I really like J. Cole.
Yeah, for that's, sure.
I'll put that on and just. Especially on a nice day, roll the windows down, and it's kind of nice.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's got a great beat. Love it.
It is. Yeah, it's fun to hear what other people like, too, and why they like it.
Yeah.
And then be like, that's terrible.
That's terrible.
What are you talking about? No, I didn't mean that, Tate. Not you. I was talking about other people.
That's how most of my friends are when I say the words Garth Brooks. They're just like, really? Country music? What is wrong with you, man?
I feel like Garth transcends country
music. I do, too.
So, come on.
I do, too. But...
he's married to
Trisha Yearwood.
But so I wanted to say, when Jake and I first started dating,
yeah,
I lived in Missouri and he was in Michigan, and we met at the Iowa State Fair.
Okay.
And there was this woman singing on a stage, and we sat and talked, and there were maybe 20 people listening to her.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know who that is, but she's going to be big.
Yeah.
Guess who it was?
Trisha Yearwood.
It was Trisha Yearwood.
That is awesome.
Yep.
You're responsible.
I'm telling you.
You put it out in the universe.
We were all 21 or something.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think she's about my age.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So that's
awesome.
Cool.
Well, yeah. So funny. So country Garth Brooks trivia. Yes. He was discovered at the Downtown Country Hoedown in Detroit.
No way.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yep. Like, he had sent, you know, demo tapes or whatever to all these.
Really? And people didn't like him.
And people were like, eh, okay. You know, it just, it was just.
He broke the mold. He doesn't really fit.
Yeah, and he was just another country guy, right?
Yeah.
But then one of the record producers was, you know, at the Downtown Country Hoedown for another act and saw the way he performed live and the way the people responded to him. And he was like, yep, we're going to sign you. And that was the...
And those people are very rich right now.
Yep. Made a lot of money.
Good call.
All right, so...
Well, thanks for thinking of me.
Yeah, this was great.
Yeah, it's good to see
you. This was great. Yeah, enjoy. Hopefully, I know you guys are going to go look at a house that Tate's thinking about buying, so... Hopefully that goes well.
Really? No. Well.
Yeah.
I'm secretly hoping it doesn't go well. So I don't want him to move, but whatever.
Man, he's about to start his real estate empire.
I know. The mogul.
The mogul.
The real estate mogul. That's right. That's right. Tate McKenzie.
When the boys were in high school, I was kind of like, man, what is Tate going to do? And so it has been.
You're still wondering.
No, it has been so much fun because. He reminds me of my brother Dave's best friend, a kid named Nick Campbell. Shout out to Nick if you're listening to this. Hands down, the smartest, most talented kid in their high school class. Like, I mean, kid could sing, dance, act. I'm pretty sure he had, like, absolutely perfect grades and never even tried. And didn't go to college. Ended up... he kind of got on the front edge of like the YouTube thing.
Oh, good call.
But making these tutorial videos for video editing software that, movie producers were starting to use and animators were starting to use.
Oh, boy.
And so he did these little tutorials, these little tutorial videos on YouTube, and was like, if you want more, you can subscribe and we'll give you more. And totally now he like travels the world skiing, playing in pinball tournaments because he's got all this revenue that just kind of rolls in from
passive
this company.
Income. Yes. Yeah,
and he's just living his best life and he's just barely 40. And I'm like, what?
Right.
One of us did this right. Right. And so kind of watching Tate over the last year and a half or so, it's like I told Ethan, I said, Tate is your Nick Campbell. He's going to be this guy that is just going to go, he is going to forge his own path and he's going to do things in ways that other people are going to be like, that'll never work. And then it's going to work. And everybody's going to be like, why are you over here on vacation and I'm slaving away, 60 hours a week. And because Tate's, he's just brilliant and he's just got it.
It'll be interesting to
figuring
see.
It out,
I hope
man.
That I, let's speak it.
I
yeah,
love
for
it.
Sure.
I'm
yeah.
loving, I'm just, I'm loving every minute of watching him do what he's doing. So
good. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet. Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
We'll see.
And Lake's obviously a force and just kind of, she's going to kill it too. It's enjoyed. I enjoyed hanging out with her the other day and catching
really
up on her
time.
Life.
Yeah.
And she's about to go on some adventures, it sounds like, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah, she's in Portugal as we speak. So.
Man, you are...
See how that goes.
You and Jake have done a fantastic job raising adults.
Aw, that's nice of you to say. You as well.
Well, thank you. Amy and I were talking the other day, and this sounds arrogant, but I feel like we both feel like we did okay.
For sure.
You know,
for sure.
Ethan and Libby, it seems like
pretty great kids.
Seems like they're all right.
Hard to get better than that. Yeah.
The Mutual Admiration Society. The VZ Max and the Roses.
Right, there we go. A sigh of relief.
That's right. That's right. We made it. We're about to be empty nesters. Oh man. All right, Laura, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate
it. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah. All right, guys, make sure you like, share, comment, rate, all that stuff. And until next time, love well.